Find with me this morning two places in your Bible, Matthew chapter 24 and Daniel chapter 9. Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 9. We'll be in both these places this morning. As we continue on this subject of the tribulation period, we will be continuing on with that over the next few weeks, Lord willing. You need two places, Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 9. Once you've found your place, if you're willing and able, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord this morning as we read it together as a congregation. Matthew 24, verse 1. We're just going to read down through verse 4 for today. And mainly, I want to draw your attention to a word in verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. I want to make this statement. First of all, there is an awful lot of deception and an awful lot of ignorance around this subject, but there doesn't need to be if we just open the Word of God and let the Word of God say what the Bible says. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be deceptive. It is rather plain if we just leave the Bible alone. Notice verse 3. I want you to notice one word in the middle of verse 3. The disciples said, Tell us when. I want you to notice that word, when. We're looking this morning at a definite time period indicated. When. The disciples wanted to know, when shall these things be? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us this morning. My Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we can read it. Thank you that we can trust it. Thank you that we can follow it. And Lord, we ask and pray that you'd be pleased to help us understand it, that we may make application of it in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help me. Please, dear God, I stand in desperate need of you this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd enable me by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to open the scriptures and make it plain. And Father, we ask that you might be pleased to help those that sit before me. I pray that you'd open their eyes, open their hearts. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would guide and lead each and every one of us into all truth. And Father, we just confess this morning that we need the Holy Spirit to teach us and we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. May you honor and glorify yourself and magnify the Son, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In previous messages over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this subject of the tribulation. We identified the fact that it's different. We identified the different biblical terms used. Anyone remember what they were? Jacob's trouble? Daniel's 70th week? The day of the Lord? The hour of temptation. I see there for a little minute I thought I'd failed as a teacher and a preacher, and nobody had got my first point, and we were just going to fold up today's message and we were going to go back and repeat the first one. But you redeemed yourselves, and I won't do that to you again. The different biblical terms used. Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, the day of the Lord, the hour of temptation. Then we consider the fact that the tribulation period spoken of in the Bible is different than general tribulation that the saints have endured down through every age of Scripture. And we looked at that. We learned that, you know, man that is born of a woman is born a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. Life's just got its tribulations. Life's got its pressure. And the pressures of just life generally is, and the tribulation generally that Christians go through is different than the great tribulation that we're studying out. We looked last time, I preached on this subject, we noticed the truth of the distinct people intended. Who remembers the key verse to that? Anyone remember the key verse? It's in the New Testament. Jess. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three distinct people groups in the Bible. You must identify who God is speaking to at the particular time. He's either speaking to the Jew, the Gentile, or the church. And we must identify the distinct people intended under or to do with this doctrine on this subject of the Great Tribulation. We looked at Moses' message to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we noticed that he was only speaking to the Jew. He wasn't speaking to the Gentiles nor the church. We noticed that in Jeremiah 30 and verse 4 and following, I think it's actually in verse 7, that the Bible there in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 7 speaks of Jacob's trouble. It says there in verse 4, concerning Israel and concerning Judah. It doesn't say concerning the church or concerning the Gentile. It's concerning Israel. And it's referred to as Jacob's trouble, not the Gentile's trouble, not the church's trouble. Then we identified in Daniel's 70th week, we noticed that Daniel was a Jew. His people are Israel. Daniel's not a part of the Gentile people group, nor is he a part of the church, but he's a part of the Jew. The church doesn't have a holy mountain. Israel has a holy mountain. Daniel's a Hebrew. He's a Jew. He belongs to the nation of Israel, not the Gentiles, nor the church. The holy city of Israel is Jerusalem. It's not Brisbane. It's not Melbourne. You might think it's Melbourne at the moment, but it's not even Melbourne. Melbourne's not going through the tribulation. They're just going through general tribulation. General pressure that comes with life in a fallen, wicked world. But Israel's holy city is Jerusalem. And so the context of this entire passage in Daniel chapter 9 is Jewish. It's not Gentile, nor is it church. And then we looked over in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24, we noticed that Jesus' message was to Israel. Jesus was in the Jewish temple, speaking to Jewish disciples, and we know that the Jews look for a sign. They asked for a sign for the end times. They said, "Show us, tell us what the sign is." Well, and we know from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians 1:22, that the Jews require a sign. The Gentiles don't look for a sign, and church, we're not supposed to be looking for signs. The Gentiles, the Jews look for a sign. We got everything we need to know. We don't need to be looking for signs. Forget about the signs and wonders. Just read your Bible. And signs and wonders, you get all mixed up on that stuff. So the temple's a Jewish holy place, not the Gentiles' holy place, nor the church's holy place. So as we've looked and we sought to identify the distinct people group, it became very clear from Scripture that God, when it comes to the Great Tribulation, has a distinct people in mind. It's not the church, it's not the Gentile, but it is the Jew. God's dealing with the Jewish people during the tribulation period. Now we're going to draw that out even further today, just naturally as we look at this subject. So the subject for today is a definite time period indicated. A definite time period indicated. We've seen in Matthew chapter 24, and we noticed in verse 3, that the disciples, their question was, tell us when shall these things be? When shall these things be? And one of the main questions about the Great Tribulation period is, when will it be? Has it been? Is it now? Or is it in the future? And if so, when and how long will it be? These are all questions that get put forward when it comes to the tribulation period. Some do believe that the tribulation has already been. They believe it followed straight after the crucifixion of Christ during the invasion of Jerusalem in AD 70. Some believe that that was the tribulation period. It's not so. It doesn't play out with Scripture. It's not consistent with the Scripture. Most believe that the tribulation is in the future. Some believe the tribulation's already been. Some believe we're in the tribulation now. Some believe the tribulation's to come. Some believe that certain members of the church is going through the tribulation. Some believe that the church is going through part of the tribulation. Some believe that the church is leaving out before the tribulation. There's all sorts of different ideas of when and how and all those sorts of things. So we're trying this morning to narrow down a definite time period that is indicated. And we'll seek to bring clarity in answering these questions this morning the best we can. Before we jump into it, let me make this statement. There are seven dispensations in the Scripture. Seven clear dispensations in the Scripture. The word dispensations, it's a biblical term, it's used in your King James Bible, and it means a time period or an age. It means a period of time. And there are seven different distinct periods of time laid out in the Scripture. And in each one, God deals with humanity in a different way. Now let me give them to you, because it's important that we understand these different dispensations. Number one is the age of innocence in Genesis 2 and 3. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall. It's the age of innocence. The age of conscience is Genesis 4 through 8. That's from the Garden of Eden to Noah's flood. Then the age of human government is Genesis 9 through Genesis 11. That's from the flood to the Tower of Babel. Then we have the age of the law. And this is, so the first four are just in Genesis. You don't even get out of the book of Genesis and you've covered four distinct time periods where God is dealing with humanity in four different manners, right? Age of innocence, age of conscience, age of human government, and age of covenants or patriarchs is Genesis 12 through 50. Sorry, I think I missed that one, didn't I? The age of covenants or the age of patriarchs, Genesis 12 through 50. That's from Abraham to Exodus. Then the age of the law is from Exodus to the book of Acts. From the Exodus to Christ, we have the law. And then we have the church age, Acts chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 3, from Pentecost to the rapture. We have the church age. The last age or the last dispensation is the kingdom age or the millennial reign. That's Revelation 20 and verse 1 and following. Revelation 20 and verse 1. That's from the second coming of Christ to the new heaven and the new earth. So we've got the age of innocence, the age of conscience, the age of human government, the age of covenants or patriarchs, the age of the law, the age of the church, and the kingdom age of the millennial reign. Right between the church age, we're in the church age right now. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the dispensation of the church. We're in the church age, okay? We're not in the law. We're not in the millennial reign. We're in the church age. Nestled between the church age and the millennial reign is a time period of 7 years, which is the tribulation period. And that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at the age of innocence and all of the nestle between the church age that we're in and the millennial reign is a seven-year window, a seven-year period that is called the Great Tribulation. And you find that from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 18. As you open your Bible and you're reading in Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19, it's all about the tribulation period nestled between the church age and the millennial reign. And that is what we're seeking to examine in this series of messages. It's a distinct time period. The tribulation period is that small seven-year period between the church age and the millennial reign. I know I've said it four or five times, but I want you to get it. Okay? My father-in-law always used to tell me, the art of learning is repetition. So there you go. To answer the question of when will the tribulation begin, we need to consider Daniel's prophecy. So now please go with me to Daniel chapter 9. When? We're not going to answer the question when until we get to the very end of the message today. We've got to plow through some prophecy to get to the answer, okay? We need to get a grasp of Daniel's prophecy. We need to get a deeper understanding of Daniel's prophecy before we can find the answer at the end of it. All right? Does it make sense? Good. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and we'll read down through 27. Daniel 9, 24. Follow along. Watch your Bible. Look at the words. Don't zone out. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now therefore, know therefore, and understand. He wanted him to understand, and folks, we can understand. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem under the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And under the end of the war, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, that's the enemy, the Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. It's heavy reading, isn't it? There's a lot of strange language in there, isn't there? I mean, there's language in there I don't use on a daily basis, and we need to get an understanding of it. We need to try and digest it. We need to try and take it, chew on it, and consider it, meditate on it, and see what God has for us in this passage. Verse 24, starting there, it clearly states in verse 24 that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. God has revealed to Daniel that 70 weeks are determined by God upon Israel and Jerusalem, upon thy people and upon thy city. 70 weeks are determined upon Israel. God, for a period of time, a dispensation of time, was going to deal with Israel for 70 weeks. Now, the word weeks, let's just understand the word weeks. Make note of this in your mind or on your piece of paper. The word week literally means sevens. That's what the word week means. When I say a week, I mean 7 days, don't you? But you know what a week is? A week is 7 days. because a week means a group of sevens. A week can mean a group of any sevens. So how we use a week in 2021 is a group of 7 days. But the way the Bible often uses the word week is a week of 7 years. In context here, it's not talking about a week of 7 days. It's talking about a week of groups of seven, right? I'm not a mathematician. I really struggle with numbers. And I've been, you know, in my mind, I see it, I understand it, but it's still a little cloudy because me and numbers, we just don't operate well together. Okay? You know, me and English struggle, me and numbers, we really struggle. 7 days equals 1 day of weeks. 1 day, 1 week. 7 days equals 1 week of days. 7 years equals 1 week of years. 7 days, 1 week of days. 7 years together, 1 week of years. Do you see that? Do you see that? It's really important. 7 days, 1 week of days. 7 years, 1 week of years. So let's do the maths. In the context, it's speaking of weeks of years. 70 times 7 equals 490 years. The 70 weeks that is determined upon Israel adds up to a total of 490 years. God has determined 490 years upon Israel and Jerusalem. 70 weeks. Clear as mud? 7 years together is 1 week. Times that by 70 equals 490 years. 490 years are determined upon Israel and upon Jerusalem. God made that promise, and he's going to keep his promise. Notice verse 25, jump down to verse 25 now. Know therefore and understand that from. Under word, highlight the word from. That from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. Under the Messiah, the Prince. Okay, so here we've got. Know therefore and understand that from. He's now telling us when that 490 years is going to start. When the 70 weeks starts. He said it's determined in verse 24. Now here in verse 25, he says, from this date. Notice it. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. It's important that we understand that where the 490 years starts from. And it starts from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. The start date of Daniel's week, or the 490-year period, is clearly stated in this verse. The start date to the 70 weeks was from the going forth of the commandment. Now remember, Israel was captured the first time. They were captured a number of times, 3 times. But the first time that Israel was captured was by Nebuchadnezzar in 606 BC. And had been in Babylonian captivity for about 70 years. 606 BC, about 70 years of captivity. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. There is some conjecture, there's some argument over when the decree was given. I'll try and get it out clearly. When the decree was, it's not a degree, that's what I was trying to say. The decree, when the decree was, there's some argument over it. And there's some different places in Ezra where Darius and Cyrus and different individuals gave a decree, but it was only to rebuild portions, of the temple and different things like that. It's not until we get here to, and we're not, for the sake of time, we're not going to go back and look at all those. You can look at them if you want to, study those out. But go in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 8. We see the decree given by a fellow by the name of Artaxerxes. What a name. And if you think that's pronounced wrong, you're wrong and I'm right, because I'm up here and you're down there. Fair enough. Like I said, I'm right and you're wrong. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And there's some hard words out there, isn't there, in the Bible to try and pronounce. I'm sure we all think we got it right, but if there was a Hebrew or a Greek or somewhere, he'd get up and he'd make you sound stupid too. And it came to pass in the month Nisan. Notice it, in the month Nisan, there's a particular month given. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and he prayed pretty quickly too. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favour in thy sight, that thou wouldest set me under Judah, under the city of thy father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which pertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Notice verse 8, you might want to underline the two words, the city. The city. All the other decrees given by different rulers did not include the city. That's why we reckon that the time, the beginning, the trigger point of the 70 weeks is this date here. Because it's at this decree that the king gives the order to not only rebuild the temple, but rebuild the city. It's very specific. Isn't that what it says in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Not just the temple, but the city Jerusalem. You see, we need to rightly divide the scriptures. We need to be very careful that we allow the Bible to say what it says and be very plain about that. So we reckon, we know, we understand from history that in 445 BC is the start date of the 70 weeks determined by God on Israel in Jerusalem. When did the 70 weeks start? They started in the month Nisan, 445 BC. It's when the 70 weeks started. That's when the clock started counting down on the 490 years. Go back with me, please, to Daniel. I really do hope that I'm making this clear. I've spent nearly 3 weeks digesting this, meditating upon it, and trying to make it plain so everybody can understand. You know, you can read some books on this, and you know, I'm no great scholar, I'm no great educated person, and you know, you can read some books on this, and I can't even understand what they're saying. They're using double jointed words that do backflips, and I don't even understand what they're saying by the words they're using. That's not who I am, so I'm not using those words. I'm trying to be me. I'm trying to be plain with the scriptures. I'm trying to digest it as it is and then give it back to you as plain as I possibly can. If you think it's too simple, go get a complicated book and entertain your wits. I don't know. Notice verse 12. I just hope it's plain. My aim, my prayer over the last couple of weeks is that, Lord, please help it be plain. I want it to be understandable. Notice verse 20, back in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore. So we know when it starts. It starts from the going forth of the commandment. We found that in Nehemiah chapter 2, and we know that that's 445 BC. That was when it started. That's when the 70 weeks started. To restore and to build Jerusalem under the Messiah, the Prince. Now notice this statement. Shall be 7 weeks. 7 weeks. How long is 7 weeks? Do the maths. How long is 7 weeks? I'm getting different answers there. 7 times 7. Remember, 1 week is 7 years. So we have to go 7 times 7 is 49. Well done, Laura. 49. 49. The 7 weeks meant in verse 25. We have 7 weeks. That's 49 years. This first 49 years is allocated to the restoration period of the temple and the city that we find in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. The book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah cover a 49-year span. They cover 7 lots of 7 weeks. Verse 25, and to make, verse 25, under the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. If you write in your Bible, you might write there 49 years. 7 weeks is 49 years. That first 7 weeks is the restoration period of the temple and the city that's covered in the books of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. Okay, we're doing a little math. I know it's Sunday morning, it's a day off, all that sort of thing. I understand that, but try and stay with me. We're actually told that the rebuilding was to be done in troublous times. Notice at the end of verse 25, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Have you read the book of Nehemiah? Did they do the rebuilding in troublous times? What did they have in one hand? A sword. What did they have in the other hand? A tool. So that they had a, let's just say they had a .308 in one hand and they had an air gun in the other hand. Let's put it in 2021. We don't use swords and, you know, these carpenters, they're soft. They don't, you know. 2021 carpenters, I don't know if we call them men or not. What are we doing? Air guns, you know? No. Hey, in Nehemiah, it was troublous times. They had the trowel, they had the hammer in one hand. They were building walls with one hand and they were fighting off the enemy with the other hand. It was in troublous times that the city and the temple was rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah. Again, isn't the Bible wonderful? Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, it said it'll be in troublous times. Nehemiah, it was in troublous times. That 49-year period. Okay, so we've noticed when it starts. It starts 445 BC. Then we have 49 years of rebuilding the temple and the city. Then notice, would you please, it says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks. What's a score in the Bible? A score is 20. So after 60, what's 60, Sister Sharon? 60. So 1 score is 20, 60 is 60. So after 62 weeks, 62 weeks. So here we go. Let's do the math. Stay with me. The 62 weeks of years, or 434 years, is from the completion of the building until the Messiah, the Prince. We're talking about, we're trying to understand the 70 weeks that are determined, the 490 years. We're told in verse 24, it starts from the going forth of the decree. We know that's in 445 BC when Art, we'll call him Art, when old Arty gave his decree to rebuild the temple and the city. That took 49 years. After the completion is another 62 weeks. That's 400, do the math, that's 434 years. So from Art's decree on the 1st of Nisan, 445 BC, in Nehemiah chapter 2, the decree to rebuild, until the Messiah walked into the city as king on Palm Sunday. Go with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. From 440, listen, are you getting the picture? Are you getting how awesome God is? From 445 BC, way back, 400 odd years back, he had a pagan king that didn't think anything about, didn't worship him, didn't care about him. He had a pagan king. He prompted a pagan king to write letters to send his cupbearer back to Judah to rebuild the temple and the city. Amazing. In fact, he didn't just send him back. He actually wrote letters and told all his men to pay for it. I mean, it's awesome. It's incredible what God can do. They spent 49 years rebuilding. Then after from the completion of the build, there's another 434 years of Israel's history to when on the very day, the 1st of Nisan, 445 BC, to the 6th of April, AD 32, exactly 483 years, exactly 69 weeks, exactly 173,880 days, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords walked into the holy city, presenting himself the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you getting a picture of the 70 weeks? Are you in Luke chapter 19? Let's start in verse 28, Luke 19, 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Yeah, try that. You walk into someone's paddock, hey, I need your colt. Why? Well, the Lord needs him. Get off my land. Go get your own colt. No, the Lord just overrode all that. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. They didn't protest. Isn't that amazing? And they brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments upon the colt. And they set Jesus thereon. I'm not sure if you ever see Jesus on a colt until this time. I think everywhere else you see him walking, except when he was in his mother's womb. And as he went, so here's Jesus sitting on the colt, and as he went, they spread their cloths in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. What city? Jerusalem. It's the Jewish city of Jerusalem. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Notice it. He's speaking to the city. Notice verse 42. This is so important. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Underline thy day. He said, this is your day. It's not my day. This is your, you should know about this day. Why? Because it was prophesied back in the, they had the Old Testament prophets. They should have known. If they had have believed what God said, they should have been counting the calendar and they should have had it in their iPhone calendar and it should have put up, it should have got a notification when they woke up that morning. This is our day. Today our King's coming. Our King's coming today. But they had forgot, they had backslidden, they had apostatized. He said, isn't that amazing? I love that. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, of all the days, you might not have known any, but at least this day you should have known. At least thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, and now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and can pass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not what? The time of thy visitation. They should have known. They had every warning to know. They knew that Jesus was coming on that day. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. To the very day. The very day. We're not talking a hit and miss. We're not talking give or take a few. God doesn't operate with give or take a few. To the very day. From Art's decree back in 445 BC to the very day Jesus walked in. 434 years. 69 weeks. Or if we want to be even more precise, 173,880 days. The prophecy was fulfilled to the very day. To the very day. Now, we've said all that to cover the first 69 weeks. We haven't even got to the 70th week. There's only been 69 weeks that God has determined upon Israel at this point. 69. We had to cover that to get to the 70th week. Now let me make this statement and we're going to close for today. I've got more here, but I won't keep you any longer. We have enough to digest. You have enough to go home, pray about, search the scriptures, think about it, pray about it. We'll come back and we will move on with the rest of it. We've covered the first 69 weeks. To the very day, God has dealt with Israel for those 69 weeks. There's 1 week left. How long is 1 week? 7 years is 1 week in context of what we're speaking about. There is 1 week left in Israel's history that has not been fulfilled as yet. God said there were 70 weeks. He's had 69. He's going to keep his word. That 70th week is still to come. Now what we'll look at next week, we'll look at the gap. There's a gap. We're not talking about a Genesis gap. We're talking about a prophecy gap. There's a gap. A parenthesis. A time period. A pause between the 69th and the 70th week. And you know what that is? Praise God, it's the church. If there was no gap, there'd be no hope for you. There'd be no hope for me. I'm glad there's a gap. And we'll look at that next week. Praise God, what a wonderful truth. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I mean, I just love the Bible. How when you just take the scriptures, you just divide it up there, you have a look at it, you just allow it to say what it says. It really is quite plain. You got to digest a lot of language. You got to digest a lot of information. But if you can sift it through and you can allow the Bible to say what it says, it really is quite plain. I hope it has been. It's been my prayer. Trust it was. If it's not, pray for me. I'll do better next time. Go back and listen to it again. Put it on slow and listen to it slowly and try and get something out of it. I pray you do. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, my Lord, I'm thankful, my God, for your word. I'm thankful particularly, Heavenly Father, for the accuracy of your word and the accuracy of your prophecies and how accurately you fulfill your word and your prophecies. What a blessing. What an encouragement. And Lord, I just ask and I pray again, Lord, would you be pleased to help us digest? Would you be pleased to help us meditate on? Would you be pleased to make it clear? The 69 weeks, the last 70th week, the prophecies of God. What a privilege, dear God, that we can rely upon the author of the book to help us understand. And I pray that that would be so. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.